Hello and welcome to PBS Western Reserve's city-centric podcast series. My name is Jeff Good, and this podcast series serves as a companion to our city-centric TV series, where we take a closer look at the community members that are centric or central to the pulse of each of our featured cities. Community members like the entrepreneur or the entertainer, the revitalizer, the politician, the humanitarian, and we even look at the future in each of the city-centric episodes that are appearing weekly exclusively on PBS Western Reserve starting in September. The city-centric podcast series takes a, let's just say, a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members, where we look even further into what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city centric to them. I'm pleased to say that today's guest is Steve Kuhn. Taking a summer job as a teenager at a restoration company is really how Steve started in this industry. It helped him discover his passion for restoring buildings. Today, Steve is the founder and president of Kuhn Restoration and Sealants. In 1983, a few years after marrying his wife Jenny, they formed Kuhn Caulking and Sealants. And congratulations, you just recently celebrated your 41st anniversary on September 11th. The first 10 employees hired by Steve and Jenny remain with the company today, which has flourished to well over 100 employees to date. With the help of their dedicated team of employees, the Kuhn family built the business into one of the largest restoration companies in the Midwest. In fact, their four children are all currently active in the business in various capacities. Taking pride in the craft of restoration and gaining satisfaction in assisting customers with the restoration of their buildings is really what has inspired the Kuhn family for nearly 40 years. Steve, welcome very much to our podcast series.
I'm glad to be here, Jeff. Thank you.
Now, I read your bio with interest, but always there's always a couple other stories to say. So I've read your bio, but take a minute to describe yourself to our listeners a little more in detail.
Well, you know what they say, if you're ever going to be successful in life, you know, find out what your passion is. And I found my passion at 15 years of age. I loved restoring old buildings, and I just loved breathing new life into them. And basically everybody's comments went from that building should be torn down or and go to a landfill to what a cool place. That's one of the coolest buildings in town. And we've done it hundreds of times, and it really works.
So, Steve, I do this with every guest. Now, there's like two hard questions, and this is what sometimes the stumbler. And so far, I've missed one so far. But this is my icebreaker game. So, Steve, I want you to give me two truths about you and a lie, and I'm going to try to figure out what the lie is.
Okay. I married my best friend. And I make a lot of money, and I've got 9 grandkids.
All right. So I know you married your best friend, because if you've celebrated 41 years of wedded bliss, you had to have married your best friend. So that's a truth. And I'm going to say you have 9 grandkids. So I'm going to say you don't make a lot of money. How's that?
You're correct. Everybody's got the illusion that you make a lot of money doing this. You really got to be passionate about it. And really, you take on a lot of debt to make this stuff work, but it's definitely not a get rich quick scheme. It's, we're in it for the long haul. So a lot of people think that, you've got all these buildings, you make a lot of money, but we just know how to, put the puzzle together and kind of breathe new life. And we've been doing it for over 40 years, but, it's a tough road to hoe unless you aren't real passionate about it. It's probably not for every person.
Steve, I'm going to have you go back in the Wayback Machine now, and you're 15 years old. You're working with your dad on restoring the McKinley Memorial. Give me some of your best memories of that experience. It had to be incredible.
Well, it was back in 1976, and again, that monument was black. And, the company my father worked for was a restoration company out of Columbus. And I got to work there all summer long, 6 days a week, and we worked 10 hours a day. So it was just like working on the farm. But anyhow, that's where I kind of fell in love with building restoration. But just, the McKinley Monument never really got a lot of play. It was the I want to say somewhat run down. People just kind of forgot it was there. And, you know, after we cleaned the entire thing, it was bright white and cut out and tuck pointed. And I learned how to rappel and how to patch and my mortar mixes. And I learned a lot at 15 years of age. So I knew then this is what I was going to do the rest of my life. And I also knew someday I was going to start my own business. Little did I know it was going to be just a short 7 years later. But yeah, it was a great memory. And actually, just one quick story about that. When you go up into the McKinley Monument, there's a dome inside of a dome. So when you climb up this steep ladder, there's actually a dome to where if it's 100 degrees outside, it's always about 65 degrees inside this dome. There's a skylight in there. So it's again, kind of a room underneath the main dome. And we were able to look down onto the McKinley's crypt. And we had all the doors blocked off, but a couple of little kids came in. This is really bad, but it's a great story. And they walked around the entire inside of the building, and they knew nobody was in the building. And they were saying, hello, hello. Well, I was up on the top with my brother, and I looked at him, and I remember him saying, don't do it. And I went, whoa. And they just froze, and I said, this is the voice of William McKinley. And we thought it was funny. Well, they screamed at the top of their lungs. They were literally on their bellies, crawling out of there, screaming like we cut their heads off. And then I said, boy, did I mess up. And, you know, it was just kind of a cool story. Nobody got hurt, but I don't know if I would do that today. But I bet to this day they're going to say, I swear we talked to the ghost of William McKinley back in 1976.
I love that, Steve. I love the story. And as you step through that at age 15, but obviously you said it a bit ago, you know, you've done hundreds of buildings now. So give our listeners an idea, you know, when you go through a restoration process, what is that process? What do you go through in restoring a building from start to finish? You know, like, who are the folks that are involved? You know, what are some simple steps or some steps that you go through on your restoration project for those folks that just think, oh, you just show up one day, you know, and next day this building is all brand new?
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that. But sure, if you know, the building, it starts out, it has to have good bones. And I say out of the hundreds, if not thousands of buildings I've looked at, I've identified two projects that were just so far gone, they just weren't worth restoring. It was just throwing good money after bad. With that said, I've done hundreds of buildings that they thought needed to go to the landfill, and we've restored them into the most beautiful buildings in the cities. But specifically, and I can pick out like the Onesta Hotel in downtown Canton, over $2 million of asbestos in it, which had saved that building because if they would have gotten that asbestos out of the building, they would have torn it down. It would have been in a landfill. So the asbestos kind of saved its life until I came along. But it sat empty for 38 years, and that building really became invisible. People would drive by it, and they wouldn't even notice it after a while. I mean, it's a 15-story building, but the windows were, you know, boarded up, and it literally became visible and invisible in downtown Canton. And you know, I went and got control of the building. The mayor of Canton at the time and Senator Schering helped me get some Clean Ohio money to get the asbestos out of the building. And it definitely had good bones. And I walked through the building a couple of times with my architect, John Sandbeck. He does most of the historic rehabs here in the Midwest. And, you know, we looked at it, created a historic district, and that made it eligible for state and federal historic tax credits, meaning you don't get any of that money up front. There's no grant. So you've got to go out and spend the $15 or $20 million. But once you've got full occupancy the following calendar year, they give you a little certificate, and you can either use that certificate yourself or sell that or syndicate it to a bank or somebody, and you'll get like 90 cents on the dollar for it. So, you know, you end up getting, you know, $5 or $6 million after you spend the $15 million the following year. But now you've got a building that's all completely restored. And after that, it's just back to promoting it and letting everybody know how great it is to live downtown. And there's a lot of people that were skeptical, even the banks, when I go into any of these towns. The first one's always the hardest because, you know, the community leaders don't believe that, and all, they can't believe that everybody's moved out of these downtowns. Who would ever want to come back? But boy, with the architecture that's there now, you just don't build these buildings today like they did back 100 years ago. And they all tell a story. And everybody wants to live in these buildings that tell a story. And I know at the Onesta, we've got, you know, Jimmy Stewart stayed there. Al Capone stayed there. We had John F. Kennedy stay there. Marilyn Monroe. I don't think at the same time, but they both stayed there. And it's just neat to, you know, for those buildings to tell that story of look who stayed there in the past. And now we're living here now. And they really become epicenters for all the other development downtown. I mean, whenever I go and restore a building, there's always four or five other projects that pop up right around it. So what I've done the last 10 years, and not that I'm, you know, any smarter than anybody else, but I make sure when I get a property, I try to secure the properties around it just because I already know that, you know, what's going to happen. You're going to restore that building, and then the desire is going to be for all the other buildings around it to be bought and restored. And pretty soon you've got a very vibrant, active downtown. And I know I was in the city of Hamilton, just north of Cincinnati, south of Dayton. And I had bought a bunch of like three or four city blocks in downtown Hamilton. And I made the comment to city council that I brought my 12 gauge shotgun and I'm going to shoot it off at 6 o'clock and see if anybody's going to call and report that. And after the meeting, they said, well, you can't discharge a firearm downtown. I said, look, I was just trying to make a point. There's nobody downtown, but it's going to be different after we do this first building. And, you know, you get them, you know, and thank God they kind of drank the Kool-Aid with me and they worked with me. And we restored our first building. And I think I bought 8 more buildings around there. And they're all full. And Hamilton's one of the fastest growing smaller cities in Ohio. And I know if you talk to the city manager, Josh Smith, he credits that basically the work we did. You know, we believed when nobody else did, but now there's thousands of believers in downtown Hamilton. And I can say the same thing for downtown Canton and downtown Cleveland. And I mean, just all the cities that we work in, we're in Wheeling right now doing a bunch of stuff. And to me, it's like Groundhog Day. You know, I've been there and done that. And literally we've done over 100 historic rehabs that I own. And then I've worked on, you know, thousands for others. And the story is always the same. They're successful.
Do a little homework with our listeners, Steve. You're listening to PBS Western Reserve's City-Centric podcast series. The City-Centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people, like Steve, that are central or centric to that particular city. TV series focuses on folks like the revitalizer, the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, the humanitarian, and even look into the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. The City-Centric podcast series, which you're listening to right now, takes a deeper dive with each of our featured city-centric community members, and we look even further into really what makes them city-centric and really what makes their city centric to them. So be sure to catch all of the City-Centric Season 1, appearing exclusively on PBS Western Reserve in September. And once again, we're so pleased to be talking with Canton Revitalizer Steve Kuhn. And you talked a bit ago about buildings that tell a story, and you also talked about that in the series. And you touched briefly on one building. So what are some Canton buildings that continue to tell a great story that you've restored? And are there any buildings that you would like to restore that tell a story?
Well, you know, there's, like I said, I did the Onesto, and that turned out great. And the Bliss beside it, there's a waiting list of people wanting to get in there. But I've since bought the old J.C. Penney's building right beside the Onesto, right on 2nd Street. And what's cool about that building, it's just directly north of the Stark County Courthouse. It's right in the center of our historic district. But really the neat thing about that, the Hoover vacuum was invented inside that building down in the basement. So when we go, we're going to put in 26 market rate units, and we're going to have retail on the entire first floor. But we're all also going to celebrate the Hoover vacuum being invented there again. That just tells a story. Another building that we're working on right now, the Reichert Building, and at one time it was the tallest building in Canton, and it was built entirely out of brick pavers, the street pavers, and the Reichert family had that for years, and I'm making that a hotel now. And again, it's right in the center of the historic district. and everything is going to flourish all around there. I mean, there's really not a whole lot left. When the governor came in to Ohio to look at what we'd done in downtown Canton, I called that block the missing tooth, because without the historic tax credit and some T-MUD to fill that in, there was nothing that was going to happen to that block. And now we're going to renovate the whole thing, and we'll have a complete downtown historic district. So it's nice. I can go down every single block, and like every building tells a story, and everybody wants to be a part of that story. There's so much energy downtown. It just, when you walk through there, I mean, there's nothing nicer than walking downtown. And I mean, I feel like I know everybody, but I've always got complete strangers. Hey, you're Steve Kuhn. Thank you for what you've done for our downtown. And I get that in Canton. I get it in Cleveland. I get it down in Hamilton and in Columbus. And it's just, it's kind of nice. We do stuff all over Ohio, but we just kind of breathe new life into these downtown communities. And it really comes down to, people want to live, work, and play downtown. And, with the office spaces dwindling, I see a huge opportunity for some of these office spaces to be converted to housing. We've got a housing shortage. You can get a premium or more money out of a historic building than you can new construction. So that's what we concentrate on, the really cool historic projects that tell a story and that people can connect with. And that's what they're drawn to.
You know, it's interesting. I hung on your one phrase that you said, you know, new construction has yet to tell their story. And so as you talk about these older buildings and that energy that comes from that restoring old buildings, I really listened with interest in that. I found that so interesting that, you know, that comment was made about, you know, hey, new buildings, they haven't told their story yet. So that's outstanding. And I'm so happy. When you talk about that energy, and you touched on it a bit, is it just the restoration of the old buildings alone that create that new energy, or is there some other elements that you've seen in your history that's helped, you know, create that energy along with that restoration?
Well, you know what? I mean, nobody can do anything by themselves. But I tell you what, the city has to work with you. That's a must. If the city doesn't work with you, and I've gone into communities where if I don't think the city's going to work with me, we don't even waste our time and energy, because it's a heavy lift. And, you know, the city has to help. The community leaders have to help. The foundations. I mean, it truly is a community project. And once they buy into the whole thing, and they ride the horse with you, you know, and it's worked out very, very well for us. I know in Hamilton, I had, it was in 08 when I did that, the mercantile loft. The bank backed out after I was over $4 million into the property, just because they said it's a recession and we're not lending any money. I went to the Hamilton Community Foundation, and I walked out of there with a $3.5 million check an hour later. And I don't know anywhere else that could happen at, but it truly happened. But they believed in that. And, you got to tell your story. And if they know you're sincere, and believe me, everybody loves to run with winners, right? But, when you can bring these buildings back, or your downtown back to life, everybody wants to be a part of that. Who doesn't? You know, it's not just the younger generation. It's empty nesters and, people just out of college, young professionals. And it's essentially everybody.
Steve, if you look in your crystal ball and you're looking at the future of Canton, what do you see strongly as Canton's future when you look in that crystal ball?
I see a huge downtown neighborhood. And right now it's just a couple of blocks here and a couple of blocks here. But as that all grows and it comes together, there's a lot of energy downtown, and it's positive. And when I say that, then you get more restaurants, more specialty shops, more downtown living, and, you know, more events downtown. And you go to downtown Canton, they've got two or three things going on every week, not just the weekend, but all through the week. You know, that Centennial Plaza would have never, ever happened if we didn't do all the restoration of downtown and created that environment that the Pro Football Hall of Fame wanted to be a part of. And it just, again, it kind of takes everybody. But, I do this in enough cities, whether it's here or Hamilton, Ohio, or I'm even in Warren and down in, I mean, I can name 30 other small cities we're in. And to me, it's like Groundhog Day. I already know it's going to be successful. It's just getting them to believe. And again, drink the Kool-Aid. And that's what I do. I get a lot of people to drink the Kool-Aid.
Steve, I ask this question of everyone. Steve Kuhn, Canton revitalizer and lover of buildings that tell a story. And I'm incorrect in saying not just in Canton. You've been many places. So what qualities, characteristics, personalities, or a combination of all those makes you Canton city-centric?
Well, I mean, I'm from here, and I go back to, you know, my when we restored the McKinley Monument. I mean, you know, Canton's home to me, and actually we even have a unit at the Onesto, my wife and I. But, you know, I just, in a bigger picture, Ohio's home to me. But we do a lot here in Canton, and I still try to do that in some other areas too. But Canton's an easy, our offices here and our warehouse and all of our guys, and we send them out all throughout Ohio and the Midwest and even out west, actually. We're doing work in Bozeman and Wyoming, again, all restoration work, and they're coming to, you know, little Stark County here and grabbing our company to restore these really cool buildings all over the United States, and it's pretty satisfying. But, you know, I did want to just mention one other, when you're talking about cool projects, I did 4 years ago, a good friend of mine and I bought the Longaberger Basket building in Newark, Ohio, and it's only about 15 miles from the new Intel facility, but we didn't know that at the time. But I just thought that was one of the coolest buildings, and I'm going to utilize historic tax credits and renovate that. And really, just with me doing that, I think that's jump-started a bunch of activity in downtown Newark. We're probably doing 7 or 8 projects there right now. Again, just, you know, one marquee project does it, and then it just grows from there. And I think it was the Longaberger Basket kind of jump-started everything else there. And Newark's alive and well, and now Intel right down the road. That's one of the hottest places in America to develop right now and to live, work, and play. So I see a lot of opportunity there. I mean, if a community wants to make their own luck, look at your buildings in your downtown and figure out how to get people to live in those buildings. Because, you know, you work in them, but after 5 o'clock, they go home. But if you're living there, you're there 24/7, and it's that 24/7 energy. And that's what people are moving to. So I'm all about the downtown living.
Once again, Steve, thanks so much for being our guest on our City-Centric podcast series. I've learned a ton, and I thought I had already learned enough. So thank you so much for your time. For our listeners, you've been listening to PBS Western Reserve City-Centric podcast series. I'm Jeff Good. And PBS Western Reserve City-Centric television series is not just about the city, but more about the people. People like Steve that are central or centric to their particular city. The TV series, which has been premiering exclusively in September on PBS Western Reserve, focuses on folks like Steve, the revitalizer, or the entertainer, the entrepreneur, the politician, the humanitarian, and we even take a closer look at the future that each community member can claim makes them city-centric. And that City-Centric podcast series that you've been listening to, we take a deeper dive with each of our City-Centric featured community members, and we look even further into really what makes them centric to their city and really what makes their city centric to them. So, hey, you know what? What makes a community member city-centric? Well, you know what? Join us next time as we continue the conversation with those featured community members on PBS Western Reserve City-Centric Series. And make sure, everyone, check out the City-Centric Series premiering in September exclusively on PBS Western Reserve.